feel that we've been sharing with our community, and as you heard from the youth on Friday, a little bit about witnessing and testifying the goodness of God and sharing the gospel. And I think when the 20 or so young people came to our home on Friday night, there was a lot of noise, there was a lot of hubbub, there was a lot of, ooh, I don't know if I can do this, I'm scared. Who are we going to see? And you've heard from two or three of them that they came back with a little bit more excitement, a little bit more of kind of the way in which the night unfolded. One of the ladies has come back to us, well, actually two ladies I'll refer back to. One of them contacted her daughter who lives in Durban, and she said how exciting it was just to be part of being prayed for by young people. And it really was a touching moment for us because they're our neighbors. And we know the history and the heartache that they've gone through. So we kind of know that it was uplifting for them. The other lady, she kind of sort of, yes, she's been a Christian for a long time, but it was kind of like getting to the end of her thought process when she was sort of saying, I'm not sure what's going to happen to Christianity as I pass on and go on into the next life. And what's going to happen here on this earth? And she was quite excited just to know that young people are wanting to share, are wanting to speak the gospel, are wanting to pray for others, even people they don't know. So it's been very encouraging for us to have had the opportunity of allowing the youth go this Friday, and I'm hoping it won't be the only time. Audrey, won't be the only time. Now, the other opportunity has been with our community. Now, one of the aspects of our community over a little while is that we've been encouraging them to go on outreaches, which we did. We went to Still Bay, and we've been to two other churches. And that's going to churches, just remember that. But to teach or to encourage, I should say, people to share their testimonies has always been on my heart, to really make sure that the gospel is spread, that you show what the Lord has done in your life, because you are the only one who knows what the Lord has done in your life and in your heart. So it's good for you to put that into words, and I've been encouraging our community to do it in 2 or 3 minutes, so it's not a long history. That I took the number 20 bus, then I went this way, and then I went that way, and eventually I got to a place where the person wasn't there. You know the kind of story, it goes on forever. I'm just saying your testimony in 2 to 3 minutes. Now, our community have done it twice now. We've gone to the mission, the Ethnos mission station at the Table coffee shop to speak to and to share the gospel with the streetwalkers. And it's quite a daunting challenge for the ladies who have never done this before, and I must stress this. They have never openly shared the gospel with people that they don't know. In a church setting, we all seem a little bit more comfortable with that. And I think we kind of are being stretched a little bit, if I can just follow through the stretching of our faith, to step out of our comfort zone and really start to share the gospel with the unknown people, the ones who are lost, the ones who are to be adopted into the family of Christ, the ones who perhaps have been hurt one way or another. And so I think it's quite evident over the last few weeks, if you've been attending our services, that the Lord has been moving in our hearts and in our way of worship, and in the way that you as a family have started to respond to the move of the Holy Spirit. And I think we can all start to appreciate, perhaps when we start reading Scripture, we will start reading Scripture and we'll start realizing, hey, there's a little word that I've read for many, many years. But now your hearts have started to change. The Lord and the Holy Spirit has been dwelling in your hearts, and your mental understanding of some of the Scriptures has changed. Are we changed for this morning's message? Has the last few weeks changed your heart? So that every time we do read a scripture verse that we have read many times before, it becomes new because your hearts have changed. Your minds have changed to the understanding of how the Lord is speaking to you through the Holy Spirit and through Scripture. So, who's doing it for me? I'm going to ask you to put up for me Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. And I want you to read it on the basis of your changed heart, on your changed mindset of Scripture this morning. Thanks. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Thank you. I have another lollipop. Okay. Our hearts are changed, I pray this morning, as we read these two verses of Scripture. Our heart has changed. So, can we just have the little clip? Thank you. Just turn the one light off.
I will follow.
Hey, thank you. Okay, you can stop it now. I thought that probably was a better rendition than my rendition, okay? So, it makes you get up and dance, I think. It makes you, I will follow you. I will follow you wherever you may go. There isn't a mountain too high. There isn't something higher that can keep me away from your love. But on the scale of 1 to 10, let me ask the question, how many of you are following him in that exuberant way? How many? No hands. Whoa, one or two. Wow. It's going to be a challenge then this morning, because the Lord is speaking to you this morning. He's speaking to every one of us this morning. going to read from Luke chapter 9, and it's going to be from verses 57 to 62. As they were walking along the road, a man said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you may go." And Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." I wonder what the man thought of that. What do you think of it this morning with your changed heart? To follow the Lord, to follow him wherever he may go. You may not be in your home. You may have to move home if you are following him this morning. But let me read further. He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Now we don't know in this story, and we kind of don't really know whether the father had passed away. And he was just using it as an excuse to say, in a few years' time, I'll follow you when dad's gone, and so on and so forth. We don't know that. But Jesus replied, and he said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Follow me, Jesus says this morning, with your changed hearts, with your changed understanding of him this morning. How far are you willing to put God's priorities before yours? How far are you willing to go? It's easy to sing. It's easy to get the rhythm and the beat and say, "I will follow you." But where are we sitting here this morning? Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Getting to retirement and going into pension, one thinks, well, should I really be working in the church? Should I be spending every afternoon and every evening of the week ministering and helping people and sharing the gospel? But this verse keeps coming back to Barbara and I. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service of the kingdom of God. What an interesting comment to really prayerfully go through it. Am I following God? Am I sharing the gospel? Am I there, or am I distracted? Distracted with the things around us. Jesus continues to say, and I won't ask you to put these on the wall, Becky, because they're just quick ones. "He that is not with me is against me," Jesus says in Matthew 12:30. "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." John 3:36. "You cannot serve God and mammon," Jesus says. "No man can serve two masters." But here we are. We're sitting on the verge of the scripture verse, the great commandment to go and to preach the word and to share in all the nations. We're sitting on that word to follow him. But what are we doing? Are we sitting here sharing the gospel amongst friends? Or are we going out to the lost and to the lonely? And I'm very encouraged by our community that have wanted to go and help Luria at the table with the Ethnos project and speak to the ladies of the night. But it's taken a lot of courage. It's taken a lot of understanding. It's taken a lot of perhaps inward thoughts. How do I express God's love? In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, we read, "May God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you rest, trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And Jesus said in John, he keeps on telling us, "He that believes in me," that's in Jesus, "as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within." We need to learn to allow the river to flow within us. We heard from Daniel saying this morning about the water and the stream. Our faith needs to develop. Our faith needs to get deeper and deeper. And there really is a wonderful expression of this depth of God's love through the Holy Spirit from Ezekiel. But it takes each one of us a step of faith. It takes each one of us a particular stand that we need to say, yes, I will follow you, Lord. But let's just read what it says in Ezekiel chapter 47. I'll try and read it without my glasses. The man, this is Ezekiel chapter 47, reading from verse 1. The man brought me back to the entrance of to the temple. I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me round the outside to the outer gate facing east. And the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me to water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000 cubits. He measured off another 1,000 and now it was a river that I could not cross, because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. What are we doing when we say, yes, Lord, I'm following you? Is my faith deepening is like that river that's flowing? Is the water getting into our ankles and we'll say, yes, Lord, I'll follow you? It's quite easy to dance in that water. Perhaps it's a little bit more difficult. I'll follow you when I'm kicking my knees. I'm struggling to actually wade through the water. It's now waist deep, and I'm trying to follow you, Lord. It's getting harder to push. My faith is deeper. It's difficult to push when you're trying to swim and stay afloat and to move at the same time. Where are we following the Lord this morning with our changed hearts? Witnessing for the kingdom of God. Is it real? Is that Holy Spirit, that depth of our faith, so deep that we are swimming in that river? I just want to read from Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to take this particular verse from the Message. Becky, if you would. Ephesians chapter 5, 18 to 20 from the Message. It gives us a warning here. So watch your step, use your head, make the most of every chance you get. I'm working, I'm serving for the Lord, I'm following Him. But am I really following Him with every chance I get? These are desperate times. Don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand with the measure... Sorry, I've lost it. Make sure you understand what the master wants. Don't drink too much wine that cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God, huge drafts of Him. Sing hymns instead of drinking songs. Sing songs with your heart to Christ. Sing praises over everything. Any excuse for a song to God the Father in the name of our Master, Jesus Christ. Are we singing that song, I will follow you, Lord? Am I swimming in that river with faith? Or am I just splashing when our daughters were smaller, we would take them to the river or to the sea and they would splash and all the rest of it. But Daddy, don't take me out there, it's too deep. I remember trying to teach them to swim. My goodness, the other end of the campsite could hear one of my daughters squealing, maybe with delight, but it was also fear, okay? It's very difficult to teach a scared child how to swim. But our two little grandsons, you give them anywhere close to water and they're swimming, no problem. A little bit different to my daughter was. But why are we struggling with this, I will follow you? Why are we struggling today? One of the words that as I was preparing through the week, it was the word tolerance. Putting up with people or ideas one does not approve of or agree with. We come through a history of this country. We come through a history of what we're living through at the moment. We are giving in to tolerance. Tolerance of non-biblical lifestyles. We are giving tolerance to divorce, alcohol, delinquency, corruption, immorality, crime, godlessness, unbelief. We know all these things. We know all these things. But where is the word, I will follow you, Lord, when we're still bombarded by the word tolerance? Jesus has a very narrow mind about the way of salvation and for us to follow him. Are we lacking in faith, splashing in the little ankle-deep water? Or are we pushing hard in the river, deep into the midst? Jesus said, many choose the wide gate, the broad road. Where are we today? Are we looking towards that destruction? Are we looking in that loving, compassionate intolerance that Jesus says? Enter through the narrow gate. He loves us, but he says, enter through the narrow gate. Because the narrow gate and the narrow is the road which leads unto life, to enter the narrow gate. You know, and for me, we obviously have this little inward joke amongst the elders a little bit about the day of the Lord, and they all look at me when this verse is read. And afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. It was great. The youth went to the old age home. You've got to be careful with that, okay? Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I'm going to just use the one verse, okay? I'm not going to say the one about the old men will dream dreams. I'm going to say the young men will see visions, okay? So, a few nights ago, I haven't shared this with Barbara because I know she kind of has a sleep pattern. And if I know she's sleeping, I'll try and not wake her up and tell her. But I had this dream. It was a distinct dream. I thought it was maybe just for me, but it may be someone here in the church as well. Now, for all intents and purposes, just remember this was a vision or a dream that I had. I was traveling, perhaps on a dirt road somewhere, don't know where, don't know what kind of a vehicle it was, so it's just going to be one of those sketchy visions that you're going to have. And on the passenger seat was a small lamb. Now, for some reason, I'd rounded a bend, and for some reason, the lamb jumped out of the vehicle. Okay? Are we okay with the story so far? The lamb jumped out of the vehicle. I put on brakes. I stopped. Now, as I stopped to jump out of my vehicle to run after the lamb, I sort of saw where the lamb had started to run into a field. Now, in this dream, I heard a voice. And it was shouting at me so clearly, so distinctly, stop, don't go into that field. And of course, being a little bit hard of hearing, I carried on and he shouted some more, stop. I turned to see where the voice was coming from. Now, when you've only got no hearing on one side, you kind of look around a little bit to find out where the voice is coming from. So eventually, I found this little wizened up old little man shouting, stop. Don't go into that field. There's an angry bull in the field. So I stood still in this dream. I'm very surprised that in all through this, I was very agitated. I don't know why Barbara kept on sleeping, but she did. Anyway, as the farmer said about the angry bull, for some unknown reason, he'd called the bull Kingdom. Now, Kingdom, to me, was, well, that's a nice name for the bull. Please just control it. I'll go and get my little lamb, and I'll be happy. And he said, no, no. You understand this is an angry bull. I need to subdue it. We need to pacify it and just get hold of the rein and hold him down a little bit while you walk through the field to pick up your lamb. Now, that sounds like a weird vision, being a young man. Okay, so what does that mean? What did that represent for me? Let's not say anybody else in the room, but for me. My kingdom, that's me. Maybe I'm not always angry, but it was coming across in the vision that the bull was angry for some reason. That was me. That was my kingdom. But before the Lamb, Jesus, could come into my life or return back into my life, I had to lay down more of my life, my kingdom, represented by the bull. I had to be subdued. Me, I had to be given more to Jesus. Now, perhaps that's my vision, but maybe it resonates with someone in this room this morning. Perhaps you have been at that point in your life where you still need to lay down your life at the foot of the cross. More and more of me needs to be handed over to the Spirit so that I can swim deeper and deeper in that water. There are many scriptures that will cover what I've said. But it comes back to the same issue. What's inside of me? What's my emotion? What's my tolerance level of things going on around me? Many of the, the writers of today will say, no one has the answer, but Jesus has the answer. I will follow you, Lord. You have the answer. You will take me out of the darkness. You will provide the light for my feet. But these moral problems and these mental breakdowns that people have and the other problems that when you go out into the world to witness and to share, you need to have that faith deeper and deeper. Because one of the words that's kind of with the word tolerance that has kind of brought into our lifestyle is the word escapism. Escapism from false idols, perhaps you'll say, but maybe there's other areas in our lives where we as human are trying to escape from reality. Many, as you know, the people that you'll be witnessing to when you go out into the world and share, and I don't necessarily mean just the Christians, but when you want to follow the Lord and he says, go into all the world and share, the people are being perhaps bamboozled by this word escapism. TV, movies, entertainment, we all know that there's subtle, harmful spiritual warfare that's taking place in all of this entertainment around us. We all know that. Writers, the various books that we have, playwrights, theater, are looking at spiritual onslaught of our senses, no matter how. And they justify it by saying, but it's real life drama. But do we really need to see that in entertainment? Because we're looking at movies, we're looking at films, we're reading books that have a moral or a psychological problem or an issue. And it seems to be okay if we read about it when the guy's dressed up in a suit of armor. Or maybe he's dressed up like Robin Hood or a cowboy in a Western movie. We still have these onslaughts. Excuse me. These onslaughts, those spiritual warfare activities that we kind of get bamboozled by this kind of intolerance or tolerance that we have, blinded by the spirit of this world. There is a man called Edward Arlington Robinson. He's an American poet. He's had a few laureates and that given to him and so on for his poetry. But he has this one amazing quote. I cannot find my way. There is no star to guide me through life. But there is a star if we would only but follow Jesus. We have heard, we've seen, and we've read. We've changed our hearts, and we've got to that point of, yes, I'll follow you, Lord. I will swim. My faith is deeper and deeper in you, Lord. But many, when you go to them, who have not given their hearts to Jesus, and could you put up Isaiah 45, verse 15 for me, please? This is the response that lots of people have. Truly, you are a God who hides himself, O God and Savior of Israel. How many times have you heard people say, there isn't a God, I can't see him, I can't find him, I don't know where he is. But Isaiah had these words to say, truly, you are a God who hides himself. And we perhaps would meditate on this, and perhaps we would look at this. But God has chosen to reveal himself to those who truly believe in him, those who follow him, those to have faith in Jesus Christ. And he does send the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need to deepen our life in the Holy Spirit. And it's quite clear that if we continue to read in Luke chapter 10, I think it is. Not everyone had those excuses. There were 72 witnesses who went out, who had faith. They had started to swim in the river of faith. They started to deepen and deepen their witness for Jesus. And when Jesus challenged them that the cost of following him would have on their lives, they didn't hold back. They didn't stop. They didn't say, let me do this with my family, or let me do this, or let me sell a house, or whatever it is. They worked hard. They went out. And the Lord appointed 72 people who were willing to follow him and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place that he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Then Jesus gives us a little bit of a discourse. If you could just go on a little bit further, Becky. When you find a house, first say peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. If not, it will return to you. Verse 7. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. We'll stop there, Becky. When you enter a town, you are welcomed. Eat what is set before you. Let me ask a question. How many of you were born here in George? One, two, three. Not many people were born in George, okay? So this is a town that we've all come to, okay? We've all come to the town. We've entered the town. Are we welcomed here? Yes, I am sure we are. We all feel welcome, the reason why we stay, okay? We feel welcomed. Now, Paul, the apostle, he wrote in Acts chapter 17. Now he writes this with Luke. He says, and he was waiting here for on one of his missionary journeys. He was in Athens. Okay, if you go to Acts, just take that off, Becky. Thanks. He goes to Acts chapter 17. We'll see that Paul is waiting for Silas and Timothy to join him in Athens, and this was a town that was very similar in some respects that you could equate to being like George. Here we have the missionary journey through the Mediterranean Sea and through the countryside of Greece and so on. Paul was full of the Holy Spirit and he was preaching of Jesus Christ. It was an intellectual center in that ancient world. Plato, Aristotle, Epicurus, all had their philosophies. And it was said, because it was like a university town, that if we rolled all our South African universities into one, the intellectual town of Athens probably had that same kind of, in their cultural existence, they had that same sort of understanding, that education. But there was confusion, there was frustration. For Greece at that time was under the iron fist of Rome. And the whole world at that time was longing for freedom under Rome. We all know that bit of history, I'm sure. And things haven't changed for 1,000 years or 2,000 years. The world is still searching for an answer. Remember I said, I haven't a star to follow me, said the poet. Paul looked at the confusion of his day. And the Bible says Paul was disturbed by what he felt. He also saw tolerance, escapism, and a failure to follow Jesus. He, in one of the sermons that Paul did, he addressed and witnessed for Christ. He pointed to the altar of the unknown God. We can look around and we can say, but that was Athens 2,000 odd plus years ago. But Paul witnessed. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He had a great audience in Athens to preach and to share the gospel. He followed Jesus. Is our town any different? The Athenians had hundreds of different gods and religions. And George is a very religious city. But let's look at it. I could ask the question, how many churches are we witnessing and sharing the gospel? Because if we were truthfully sharing and witnessing the gospel, I have to ask, why is there still an imbalance between crime? Benny used the example this morning. There's an imbalance of crime and Christianity. Are we winning or are they winning? Is Christianity over crime? Is it because not witnessing, not following Jesus? We call for revival in all the churches. We cry out. We know it's spiritual warfare. But how is our faith? How are we deepened our faith as we follow him? A revival within our church here. We've seen the move of the Spirit to bring us to a point in time over the last 3 or so years. Are we following him into the future? Are we following him into what he has for us in the future? I will follow him wherever he may go. Yeah, that's so catchy. It's one of those song tunes that sticks in your head. I've been humming it and singing it almost all week. I will follow. Yeah, it just gets to you. But Paul was preaching to a very religious town. He was preaching to a religious group of people, God-fearing Greeks, Jews. But amongst them were the Epicureans, and amongst them were the Stoics. The Epicureans enjoyed life. Happiness is the goal of life. Eat, drink, and be merry. Have a good time. But the Stoics were there as well in that audience. They were the intellectual snobs. They didn't need God, no. Sounded very British, didn't I? Sorry. They didn't need a personal experience with Christ. They were very self-righteous. We also, in amongst that crowd, we could also be scratching the surface when it comes to living and being like the Pharisees of old. But it doesn't say so in the Bible. No, doesn't say that. We've been very tolerant, but we've become intolerant. We've got to that point where entertainment, like the Epicureans, has blinded us. It's the reason why we're not following Christ. We are blinded. The gate is wide and the broad is the road leading to destruction, says Jesus. But to follow him, the way is narrow. Jesus spoke of a narrow gate and a narrow road. How do we relate to this? You know, in trying to put a few things together, and I'm really thinking myself, I'm running out of time, but water boils. I'm trying to explain narrowness. The broadness is everywhere, but the narrowness and the focus that we need to follow Jesus. I'm just trying to explain it. Water boils at 212 degrees Fahrenheit at sea level. You all know this. It's never at 95 degrees and it's never at 189 degrees for that matter. And it's also sea level at 1 atmosphere of pressure. But the narrowness is it's only boiling at 212 degrees Fahrenheit. We all know that we've all been good students with maths. We know that if we add 2 plus 2, it's always 4. It's never 3.5 or it's never 5.5 unless you're an accountant. Where is he? Sorry, Henry. The sum of two, the arithmetic is broad. Neither is geometry. It says that a straight line is the shortest distance between two points. That seems very dogmatic and narrow. And that's what Jesus is really saying to us. There is only one way. There is only to follow him. It is a narrow road. It is a narrow gate that we have to go through. There is nothing that we can do or change about it. But are we deepening our faith to go into that narrow gate? Are we deepening our faith to walk that narrow road? Or are we doing our best, trying to be honest, being sincere? Oh, you'll all make it to heaven. Don't worry about it. That's not what the good news is. That's not what Jesus is saying to us today. Are we following him? Becky, could you just put that Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20 on the screen again, please? Are we following him this morning? Are we going to that place that he asks of us? Are we going into that water, that living water that he provides? Are we swimming deep and deep and deep into that river that he provides? Because the answer then is, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Are we going to be broad-minded from this morning? Or are we going to be narrow-minded, walking that narrow gate, through that narrow gate, that narrow road this morning? Are we prepared to truthfully and honestly say, I will follow you. I will follow you wherever you may go, Jesus. We moved. Be moved into this place that we can say, yes, Lord, we will go and make disciples, for the kingdom of God is near. How near is the kingdom of God in your heart this morning? Are you going to respond by saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to deepen my love for you. Let's pray. Father, you have shown us once again, Lord, your word to us through scripture, through verse, and even through song, Lord. You've given us an opportunity this morning to respond. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that as we just come into this place, Lord, with new hearts, with new an understanding of you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is what helps us. That your Holy Spirit that helps and guides us through seeking the truth, going through the narrow gate, the narrow road, is difficult, Lord. And we can only do that because of your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us, that you will guide us, that you'll take us by the hand, Lord, and that you will indeed take us through the knee-deep water, the waist-deep water, deeper and deeper into your faith, Lord, that we know that we are in the palm of your hand, that you have indeed every one of us in a place that you want us to be, because we are following you, Lord Jesus. Help us through the life that we have. Help us through the witnessing and the sharing of your gospel, Lord, to others who need you. Help us to be bold. Help us to have the words of our testimony that only focuses on you. May we see more and more people being witnessed to. May your Spirit just lead us from this day forth into the many days, weeks, months, and years that lay before each and every one of us, that we can say at the end of the day, we followed you, Lord. We followed you over hill. We followed you through the valleys. We followed you through the rough stones, Lord, and over the mountaintops, that we can indeed come into your presence and know that you are the God I am. We praise you and we thank you for this time, Lord.